As you'll see in the habendum clause to the lease, which we'll go over in a moment, the lessee has two desires in taking the minerals. The first is that the lessee, the oil company or its representatives, have the right but not the obligation to develop the minerals under a property. During that fixed term, and in the past, they were often quite long. 10 years was not uncommon in the early 20th century. The lessee had to take no action except, and we'll talk about this, the obligation to pay delay rentals if the lessee did not want to undertake development to maintain the lease. Then the lessee, during this period, would determine to perhaps sell the lease, to acquire partners and a pool of capital necessary to develop it, or in some circumstances, just develop the minerals itself if it had the expertise and the capital to do it. The lessee's second obligation then, which you'll see in the habendum clause, is recognized by the term production. The lease will continue past the primary term as long as there is production. And what that represents is the lessee's second objective, and that is to maintain the lease through its economic life so that the lessee at least has the potential to derive the maximum economic benefit of the property acquired. I'd like to move to the second area after talking about this basic structure, and this will include the key lease provisions that developed over our jurisprudence beginning in the early 20th century. These are going to appear in the old AAPL form. Variations of them will appear in most leases that you see today, notwithstanding that the leases are going to be a good bit more complicated if they involve a lot of money on the front end. We'll discuss the granting clause and often its attendant subset Mother Hubbard clause, which will often appear in the same section or paragraph as the granting clause, the lesser interest or proportionate reduction clause, the free use clause, warranty and subrogation clauses, which are not unlike other warranty and subrogation clauses, the habendum clause, which I referred to a moment ago, the delay rental clause, and then savings clauses or clauses that provide for constructive production. And when I refer to that, since the lease ends after the primary term, unless there is production, these constructive production clauses would provide for non-termination or lease continuation in instances where there is no actual production. And these include an operations clause in a couple of forms, shut-in payments clauses, force majeure clauses, and we included the pooling clause, which is not usually described as a constructive production clause, but in a way it creates constructive production. Stepping back for just a moment, and at the risk of being a little bit too fundamental, then we have a series of clauses that effectuate the grant and intent, and then a series of these savings clauses that will effectuate the duration, or that will protect the duration of the lease in fairly common occurrences or anticipated in occurrences. You'll see first a typical granting clause that appears in the old form, and some of the operative, there's a good bit of language in the granting clause that causes one to pause and read a couple of times, but some of the operative language you'll see is the citation of a nominal consideration. The negotiated amount of bonus consideration won't appear typically in a granting clause. It'll just be a nominal consideration as in many agreements, which is stated. The lease will contain words of grant where the lessor does hereby grant, lease, and let. The lease will describe specific rights to use surface if the lease is being taken from an owner that has surface ownership. And those would include things like laying pipelines, constructing structures to produce, putting tanks on the surface. It grants the right to drill and produce, and then you'll see there's a place for a legal property description of the tract to be inserted in the granting clause. Granting clause issues. At the outset, we have to ask, when we review the granting clause, what surface rights are granted, what land is included, and what substances are included. In the last instances, some granting clauses will refer to oil, gas, and other hydrocarbons. Some will refer to oil and gas. It's not uncommon in older leases for granting clauses to refer to oil, gas, and other minerals. The meaning of other minerals is beyond this talk, but it's described in a sequence of cases that have developed in Texas over the years, the lead case being Moser versus U.S. Steel, which defines the term other minerals and its application.